Welcome to Spirit Driven with Senior Pastor David Wilson of Hope Chapel Westside. Hope Chapel Westside meets Sundays, 9 a.m. at Holomua Elementary School in Ever Beach. If you would like more information on Hope Chapel Westside, just visit our website, hopechapelwestside.net. And now, Pastor Dave Wilson.
Through 11. It says this, but some men came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. And after Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and debate with them, Paul and Barnabas and some of the others were appointed to go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and the elders about this question. The apostles and the elders were gathered together to consider this matter, and after there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, brothers, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you, that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did to us. And he made no distinction between us and them, having cleansed their hearts by faith. That's a key word right there. Now, therefore, why are you putting God to the test by placing a yoke on the neck of the disciples that neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? But we believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus just as they will. Amen? We're saved by grace through faith. And this is what Paul spends so much time talking about in Romans and Galatians, many of his letters. You'll see this repeated over and over again. Now, there is a thing, we use a term called legalism. Legalism, like the word Trinity, it's not in the Bible, but it describes something. Now, there's I have a definition, that's my definition. There's a lot of long ones, but this is basically what legalism is, or it's it's kind of trusting in any set of rules, customs, or traditions that go beyond saving faith in what Jesus did on the cross and go beyond the basic moral commands in the New Testament. Okay? Basically, legalism is going back kind of to the Old Testament law. That's part of it. But it's also adding rules that aren't even in the Bible. It's interpreting it in the context of one's culture, and you add all these extra rules on supposedly make you more holy. And if we aren't careful, we can fall into that. Because probably none of us here thinks that we're legalistic. But after today, you might question. So I want to make sure that we kind of really define this. But what makes legalism, or this idea of works-based salvation, so attractive? You guys know who the Pharisees and Sadducees were? The Pharisees basically were these guys who were the lawmakers. These guys kept the law. They were looked up to, wore these long flowing robes. They were the scribes. And so they followed all these rules. And Jesus scolded them. What did he say? He said they were snakes. They were vipers. He said, you guys are whitewashed tombs with dead men's bones inside. In other words, you look all pretty on the outside. You look all religious and holy. But on the inside, your hearts are hard. You're hungry for power, you're malicious, you're envious, right? All the things that are not good, right? The things that really matter, they were failing in. So legalism, or this works-based kind of religion, again, why does it appeal so strong? Why do people fall for this? It's been 2,000 years, and it's outlined in Scripture so Paul does such a good job explaining it and saying stay away from this, but people fall for it. And we have cults that are formed out of it, right? Jehovah's Witness and LDS churches are groups that came out of the church, and they have all these rules. And there's many, many more groups have all these additional rules. It's attractive because it feeds the sinful flesh. Legalism feeds our flesh. And it feeds our pride. Basically, it's easy to change your external appearance, is it not? You can dye your hair, right? You can wear different clothes. You can attend certain places and everything. You can put on a look. so much easier than you can change the inside. Because, you know, the hardest thing to change is a heart. That's the true miracle, is to change the condition of our hearts, right? And so it's attractive. It appears as a shortcut to holiness. And so people that are really excited or new to the Lord, a lot of times they think, wow, and I've seen this with my own friends when I was young. I remember I had a couple good friends, and they were going to church with me, and it was a Hope Chapel, and we were, you know, we believed the same things. And they listen to this other teacher, and they come back, and all of a sudden, you know, there's my friend Billy, and Billy, you know, okay, I just use his real name, so if you listen to this, but Billy had this, like, full-on mohawk and everything, and he was just this kind of tough-looking guy, and all of a sudden, you know, I see he starts growing his hair out, and he's parting on the side, and he's wearing these shirts that he never used to wear before, and like, Billy, what's going on with you? Oh, yeah, you know. And then he had this whole teaching. Oh, yeah, you know, if you really want to be holy, you got to do God's best. You got to watch the way you dress. And you get, I was like, what? Show me in the scripture where it talks about that. Right? And this guy, this pastor, had convinced him, you know, to that it was all this external stuff. And then my other friend, try not to use her. Let's call her Emily. So basically, she's wearing dresses, won't wear jeans or anything anymore, stop wearing her makeup. And she's pretty enough, really, but it was just like this whole change because of what this guy taught. And I go, what in the world is going on? I remember I met a guy later on when I was at this job, and I really got to know him. And he was part of this group that was kind of like that, where the women said, you know, if you're going to be holy, women can't cut their hair, ever. I mean, ever. So it's long, right? Like hula long. But, I mean, and then it's wrapped up, not in a bun. It gets to a certain point, ladies, you know, the bun isn't going to work anymore. So they had this Princess Leia thing going on, I don't know. But women couldn't wear pants. They had to wear dresses. Men had to dress a certain way. I could never go to their church like this. You know, you got to have your hair a certain length. All these additional rules, right? And like, that's what it takes to be holy. I thought, that's crazy. But it extends. There's so many rules, right? Well, yeah, man, you know, people can't have tattoos. Well, that's like half Hawaii. Oh, well, I guess we're out of the equation, you know. You know, it's like, you can't drink any alcohol. It's like, I think the Bible says don't get drunk, right? And a lot of people really shouldn't. But that wasn't the point. But it was just one rule on top of another rule on top of another rule. And then going, oh, my gosh, get me out of here. If this is Christian, I don't want it, right? And a lot of people run from that. But some people thrive on it. Oh, man. You know why? Because checklists are great, aren't they? You know what's attractive? You know why this works? You know why people get sucked in? And, you know, and when I say sucked into it, if you have, I'm not trying to offend you. This is powerful because checklists are awesome. Anybody have a to-do list? And you have the five things you got to do, right, that day, right? I got to do these five things today. Man. But you write them down. And you put a little check mark next to him. And if you got 3 out of 5, that's pretty good, right? And you're like, wow, that's so awesome. Dave, you got 3 out of 5 done today. That's such a great thing. Wow, I did my checklist. I feel so holy. And that's why it works. You understand? Because I've done something in my power. I've done something I did that. I accomplished this. Oh, God must be proud of me. Right? Wow. Wrong. This is not about you. See, it deceives a person into thinking that they're doing the right thing. If I just go to church so many times a month, if I just read my Bible so many times a week, if I just do this and if I just do that, check, check, check. But if I got inside of me bitterness and anger and unforgiveness, and I don't love my neighbor, and I don't even get along with people in my church. Uh-oh. Something's not right. It's not what it's about, right? And so that's why it appeals, because it's so easy to change all the stuff on the outside and then to go home and be somebody else. Here's the thing. And again, depending upon some traditions in your past, how you grew up, some pastors really get into the Jewish thing. And I'm not downing that at all. Okay. I mean, I support Israel. And, you know, some people are like, yeah, I like to blow the shofar. And if you can play that and make it sound right, awesome. I think it probably, like, take most people's breath out of them and pass out. But, you know, that's great. Studying the Jewish stuff is awesome. It's great. But when you take it too far, when you say, wow, if I get more Jewish, I'll be closer to God. Oh, then you cross the line. Make sense? See, following the Jewish festivals, observing the literal Sabbath, or any return to Jewish observances cannot make you more righteous. This is not Pastor Dave and his opinion, or the opinion of a group of teachers. This is Paul. Okay? That's my quote. That's my summary. Read the entire book of Galatians. All five chapters are dedicated to this issue. Now, why? What were the purposes? Paul explains this in his letter to the Colossians. Colossians 2:16, therefore let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath. Now, you got some things in there that are distinctly Jewish, some things that might, a festival could be, maybe not necessarily a Jewish festival, maybe it was pagan, as long as you didn't cross certain boundaries, right? But that's a powerful verse, gang. I am surprised how many Christians don't know that verse, and how many Christians think that people over the past 20 years I've been pastoring, even before that, they ask me a question often, Pastor, can I eat this? Pastor, can I drink that? And I put them to this verse. I point them over here. Right? Jesus said, it's not what goes into a man that defileth him, but it is what comes out of the heart. It's what's in here, what's in my heart, and then what comes out of my mouth and the words that I speak that defile me or make me are unworthy or unholy. It's not my diet. It's not what I choose to drink. Right? And then also look at the festivals or new moons. There are people that think, well, you know what, Christians, if we just worship on Sabbath, God would just bless us if we just worshiped on Saturday. No, that's not going to happen. The early church worshiped on Sundays. It's the first day of the week. It's in the book of Acts. We don't have to worship on Sundays. It's just a fact that that's how we started out. But because we have this, the Lord of the Sabbath now lives within us. If you go to Hebrews 4, it says we enter into his rest. Jesus is our rest. Jesus is our Sabbath. And so if the Lord of the Sabbath lives in me, that's what I walk around with, the Sabbath. Every day. Every day is my Sabbath, because every day I should be resting in the Lord. Amen. Now, if you want to take a nap on the Sunday afternoon and call that your Sabbath, that's up to you. I call that a nap. Naps are good. I love naps. As I'm getting older and I'm like, oh, I got to get more vitamins, I got to get more exercise, I'm going to take, you know, I'm out, right? You guys know, because you're like, yeah, I'm looking forward to that nap. Dave, stop talking about it. So, God bless you if you observe sundown. Oh, by the way, if you want to do it right, sundown on Friday to sundown Saturday, okay. If you're going to do it right. But yeah, I mean, it's a great principle and everything. I'm not downing it. Just don't think it makes you more holy. That's all. That's all I'm saying. This stuff is great. Just don't take it too far. Here's another one. Colossians 2:23, a little further down, says what? This. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion. Whoa! Did you just say that? You guys read that? Look at that. These indeed have an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. Oh, see, you guys just got it right there, right? Click. There's no value. This kind of stuff, gang, if you have Jesus in your heart, getting Jewish ain't going to help you get holy. All right? Making a list and checking it twice isn't going to keep you from being naughty and make you nice. It's just not going to happen. We're getting close to Christmas. Got to throw one in there, you know. So you guys know what asceticism means? Asceticism basically, it's like this extreme treatment of the body. Like there are these guys who would, I kid you not, they would climb up to this 15-foot pole and they would stand on top of the 15-foot pole and see how long they could just stand there. You know, do like this David Blaine kind of thing. And thinking, yeah, this is good. God sees this. What are you doing? God's going, get off of the pole, man. You crazy? You're going to hurt yourself, and I'm going to see it too soon. So, yeah, asceticism. You know, it's like the monks, these guys sequester themselves and treat their body. Oh, we're not going to speak. We're not going to do all this. And don't get me wrong. The monks have done a great job recording our history and bringing it down to us, but a lot of the practices are unnecessary. See, this is how we get saved. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, 4 is by grace you have been saved by faith, and this is not our works, but is a gift of God, so that what? No one can boast. Amen? Please don't take this and beat your neighbor. We are saved by what Jesus has done for us on the cross. There's nothing that we can do, right, to earn our salvation. Amen? There's nothing that we can do. If we want to go according to the law, if we want to have our own self-righteousness, that's what all the other world religions have. You can be Islamic or Hindu or whatever. You can do any other religion. They're all jumping up trying to reach God. Christianity is the only one where God is reaching down to us and going, here, grab my hand. That's all I got to do? Yeah. Agree with me. Love me. Are you willing to love me and trust me with your life? Yes. Grab my hand. Okay, let me lead you. Right? How can we avoid the grip of legalism? Okay, now I'm going to give you some application. See, it's easy to point to other people, oh yeah, that group's legalistic, or I know somebody who's legalistic. Now we're going to say, am I legalistic? Is there any little taint of legalism in me? Because if there is, what that can do is it can kind of hinder our growth, yes? It can hinder us in the spirit, and we don't want to do that. So how do we avoid this? Well, how we avoid the grip of legalism is we got to know the difference between commands and convictions. Commands and convictions, okay? Now, as I described earlier, in the Old Testament, there was civil law. We didn't follow the civil laws of the Jews because we're not ancient Israel. We're in America, and America has civil laws, right? Those are laws that govern the land, okay? We don't have bond servants. Nobody's like, hey, I owe you so much, so I'm going to be a slave to you until I pay off this note. Dude, here's a credit card. And right? So we have different methods. We have a different civil government. Do we do the Levitical stuff? I just showed you right there, right? The ceremonial laws? Do we follow those? Don't eat this. Don't eat pork. Don't eat that. Don't eat this. Don't drink that. No, we don't follow those anymore. Those don't apply. The only thing that still applies is the moral law. And the moral law was around before the Ten Commandments, before Moses, before it was in the days of Abraham, it was in the days of Adam and Eve. What are the moral laws? Look at the Ten Commandments, except for keep the Sabbath. Again, we have the Lord in us, so we keep the Sabbath, right? I mean, if we believe in Jesus. But look at the rest of the commandments, what do they have to do with? What do they have to do? What they have to do with moral law. Right? Right? Don't covet your neighbor's wife. Don't steal. Don't kill. Right? All these moral things. Now, the moral laws are reiterated in the New Testament. Right? Paul doesn't say, well, you got to be circumcised. Thank you, Jesus, right? I mean, unless, anyways. Or whatever, right? I don't have to follow 613 some odd rules. You don't have to be Jewish to be Christian. But there is one, Galatians 5:16. There are a bunch of lists, and Paul says, look, he says it like this. I like the way he says this. Galatians 5:19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are evident. I like another translation that says, the works of the flesh are obvious. It's kind of like he's going, duh. It's just Paul. Now the works of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, adultery, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you as I warned you before that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. What's he saying? He's saying, look, everything that has to do, all this stuff starts in the heart, right? You know, and there's a lot of lists like this in the scripture. It's not following all these lists. You know, because you have the Holy Spirit in you, he's going to convict you in your spirit. He's going to agree with the scripture and go, yeah, you got to change some things. And he's going to help you to work the changes out, okay? But if you're looking for commands, this is it. And the list changes, but that's it. Even the Jewish council said what? Tell the Gentiles, avoid sexual immorality. And well, because, you know, there's still a whole bunch of Jews and stuff around, just kind of careful of what you eat. You know, don't eat the stuff with the meat with the blood in it or whatever. You know, strangled by animals. Or animals don't strangle. But basically, animals have been strangled. In other words, so there was a little bit of kind of deference they were giving to the Jews, but it was just for that time. But basically, this is the list. Sexual immorality, I mean, it's in there. I mean, it's all throughout the scripture. We talked about it before. There's some tie between that and spirituality, and God knows what he's talking about, so I defer to God. Amen? I mean, he knows what's going on in that area. So, but then there are convictions. What are convictions? Convictions are personal understandings that come from tradition, culture, and one's own choices that should not be forced on another person as a measure of holiness. Okay? You and I, we probably grew up differently. I grew up in L.A. I moved here 22 years ago. Some of you guys grew up here locally. Some of you guys grew up in different religious traditions, Catholic, Buddhist, whatever. Some of you guys might have grown up in the church, some more strict, some not so strict. And so sometimes we have differences as believers, right? One's coming up, Halloween. Some people are like, that's the devil's holiday. Whoa, okay. That's one view, and so it's like, got nothing to do with that, all right. And then you got other Christians that are going, oh, I'm going to dress up my kids and we're going to take them and get some candy, right? And it's a controversial thing. It's become a secular holiday, but the reality is, if you do the research, it started out as a Christian holiday. Pope Gregory introduced it, and a lot of it had to do with prayer. And so there's some negative things about it, there's some positive things behind it, but what we celebrate in America is basically, yeah, going out and eating candy for our kids. You know, it's candy day. But you might be on one side of it, you might be on the other, right? But is it a command of God? Go back to, what did he say about festivals? What did he say? It's your own choice. And if it's for you, that's fine. I don't celebrate it. I believe this about it. I don't celebrate it. I don't want my kids exposed to it. So, okay, you made that choice. When you cross the line is when you treat it like a command and you say, so the rest of you guys should believe the same as me. That's when you cross the line. See, commands are what I just laid out. They're very simple, right? Convictions, we can have convictions, that's fine. Here's another one, and I didn't really want to share this because it's probably going to get misconstrued, but let me share it anyways. On alcohol. Would you say we have a problem with alcohol in America? Kind of, yeah. There are people that have gotten addicted and they have a past. So maybe you have a past and you have bad things happen in your life, right? And so you want to come out of that. And so you say, I can't drink, and you know what? God has delivered me, and I'm not going to touch another drop, and you shouldn't, right? And for you, you know, that is a good thing. But a brother or sister over here may have never had that background that you have had. May have, once in a while, they might have had a glass of wine with their dinner at home or something like that, and that's fine for them. Now, they might love you enough that when you guys share a meal together, they're not going to have it, right? And that's what love does, right? So we work those things out. But you see what I'm saying? What's wrong is when you cross the boundary and go, oh, you know what, you guys shouldn't do this, and you shouldn't do, you know what, I'm not doing it, so you guys shouldn't, whoa. Because everything's about love, amen? But see, so many people want pastor to give you a list of 20 things you shouldn't do. That's not how it works. The Holy Spirit convicts us and moves on our lives. And so each one of us in this room are going to have some personal convictions about things. And that's okay. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm telling you right now, there's nothing wrong with that. But be careful that you know the difference between something that's between you and God, okay, and something that's for every Christian. Amen?
You have been listening to Spirit Driven with Pastor David Wilson of Hope Chapel Westside. Hope Chapel Westside meets Sundays, 9 a.m. at Holomua Elementary School in Ever Beach. If you would like more information on Hope Chapel Westside, just visit our website, hopechapelwestside.net. God bless, and have a great week in the Lord. Thank you.